भगवतां भगवतां ब्रूत यदि नः श्रुतये क्षमं यैः प्रसन्नः प्रपन्नाय दास्यति आत्मना अप्यजः धर्मान् भागवतान् ब्रूत यदि न श्रुतये क्षमम् यै प्रसन्न प्रपन्नाय दास्यत् आत्मानमप्यज धर्मान् भागवतान् ब्रूत यदि न पुनः प्रपन्नाय दास्यत् आत्मानम् अप्यजः प्लीज रिपीट धर्मान् भागवतान् ब्रूत प्रपन्नाय दास्यत् आत्मानमप्यजः लेडीज धर्मान् भागवतान् ब्रूत दीनश्रुतये शमम् यै प्रसन्न प्रपन्नाय दास्यत् आत्मानमप्यज लेडीज धर्मान् भागवतान् ब्रूत श्रुतये क्षमम् यै प्रसन्न प्रपन्नाय दास्यनम् आत्मनाम् अप्यज हे प्रसन्नः प्रपन्नाय सति आत्मनाम् अप्यज धर्मान् भागवतान् द सायन्स् आफ् डिवोशनल् सर्विस् ब्रूत प्लीज स्पीक् यदि इफ् नः आफ् अस् श्रूयते टु हियर् प्रापर्ली क्षमम् There is capacity, yai, by which prasannaha, being satisfied, prapannaya, to one who has taken shelter, dasyati, he will give, atmanam, himself, api, even, ajaha, the unborn Supreme Lord. Translation. Please speak about how one engages in devotional service of the Supreme Lord. If you consider me capable of properly hearing those topics. When a living entity offers loving service to the Supreme Lord, the Lord is immediately satisfied and in return he will give even his own self to the surrendered soul. Purport. Within the material world, there are two classes of mundane philosophers who present their opinion about the Supreme Lord. some so-called theologians claim that we are infinitely different from God, and therefore they tend to look upon the Lord as something far beyond our power to understand. Such extreme dualistic philosophers, outwardly or officially, claim to be pious and religious believers of God, but they consider God so much different from that which is within our experience that, according to them, there is a little profit in even trying to discuss the personality or attributes to the Supreme God. Such outwardly faithful persons generally take to fruitive activities and gross materialistic sense gratification, being infatuated with the mundane relationship of the material world, which appear under headings like society, friendship and love. The Advaitavadis, the non-dualistic philosophers, claim that there is no difference between God and the living entity, and that the highest goal of life is to give up our personal existence, which is due to illusion, and merge into the impersonal Brahman effulgence, which is devoid of name, form, personality and paraphernalia. Thus, neither class of speculative philosopher is able to understand the transcendental personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his sublime teachings of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, or simultaneous oneness and difference, has clearly demonstrated that we are qualitatively one with the Lord, but quantitatively different. God is personal consciousness, and He has His personal form. Similarly, we are also personal consciousness, and ultimately, when liberated, we also have eternal forms. The difference is that the eternal form and the personality of the Supreme Lord contain unlimited potency and opulence, where our potency and opulence are infinitesimal. We are conscious of our personal body, whereas Lord Krishna, the Absolute Truth, is conscious of everyone's body. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kshetradnyam Chapimam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. But although God is infinitely greater than the living entity, both God and the living entities are eternal personalities with form, activities and feelings. The Supreme Lord, Krishna, expands Himself into innumerable living entities to enjoy rasas or ecstatic relationships with them. The living entities are part and parcel of the Lord, and they are meant to serve Him with love. Although the Supreme Lord is eternally the predominator, the living entity is eternally the predominated. When the living entity surrenders unto the Lord with a sincere loving attitude, desiring to serve the Lord eternally without the slightest expectation of personal reward for such service, the Lord immediately is pleased, as expressed here by the word prasannaha. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is so unlimitedly merciful and magnanimous that in His gratitude to such a surrendered and loving servitor, He is immediately inclined to offer anything, even Himself, to this surrendered devotee. So we are advised to stop here at this level of purport. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupak Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is now at the event of Narad Muni talking to Vasudev, and Vasudev asking questions to Narad Muni. And Narad Muni, out of his humility, although being much superior to Navyogendra in one sense, because his seniority is so much, even in the timeline or spirituality, still he is humble enough to quote the discussion between Maharaj Nimi and the Navyogendras. And these teachings of Navyogendras constitute a very important part of the teachings of our Sampradaya also, and the eternal teachings of spiritual science. Very interesting, all the 9 Yogendras, one after another, speak a very beautiful, instructive lessons to Maharaj Nimi. And here Maharaj Nimi is asking a question: am I qualified to listen? This is the qualification of a listener. The moment he asks a question about his qualification and whether he is eligible, he becomes eligible. Because the eligibility of a Shrota is his desire to listen, his desire to hear humbly and submissively, submissive oral reception. And Prabhupada goes on explaining the variety of people having variety of knowledges. And he comes to the point of surrender. Now this is the ultimate status of a devotee in his life. But finally, after trying to enjoy sense gratification, doing things to be happy in life, he comes to know that whatever you do in material life, happiness is not there. Happiness is only abhas, anticipatory feeling that, oh, it will come. We do certain things and we expect happiness will come. But invariably, there is unhappiness. So after that, activities of fruitive activities, the person becomes renounced. Then he starts acquiring knowledge. Knowledge by nature gives renunciation. But the renunciation in itself is not very enjoyable situation. It's like a situation which is makes you free from suffering of life. Maybe the attachments that we have, the attachments those give us pains in life, they are not there now, so we feel little like, you know, relieved, kind of relief is there. But relief from material distress doesn't mean that it's a blissful situation. It's like it can be a neutrality situation. But relief from material distress cannot be a happy situation. And by nature, the soul is anando mayobhyasat, pleasure seeking. So unless and until the soul receives the happiness or the ananda that he is looking for, he cannot be constitutionally satisfied. So then karma kand, then gyan kand, vairagya, and then comes bhakti. And in bhakti also, when he performs bhakti, then he feels immense happiness. By performing, chanting Hare Krishna, the process of chanting, I should be happy. By performing activities of devotional service, I should be relieved of my pains and pleasures. And finally, I must be happy by doing my sadhana. And then finally, I should get liberated from these cycles of birth and death. And finally, I should get association of the Lord. And finally, I should be in Gauloka Vrindavan. There is very one significant thing is there in all this process, that I is a prominent feature in all these activities. Right? It's very nice, there's nothing wrong. But still, it's a stage, it's not ultimate. It is said that dharma, artha, kama and moksha, all these 4 things can serve us as hindrance to our bhakti. earth and calm, everybody knows money is always a problem. It always creates nuisance and disturbance. Desire for sense gratification anyway entangles us. So it's not difficult to understand that these two things are bad for bhakti. But dharma also can be bad for bhakti if it is not properly performed with the understanding of the purpose. That purpose is samsiddhir hari toshanam. If that is not understood, then dharma is a very nice activity, looking very lucrative, but it's only for ourselves, for my happiness, my family happiness, my samaj happiness, my country happiness, my caste happiness, my language people happiness, extended family happiness. So dharma performed not for the pleasure of the Lord only, finally can keep you away from the Lord. And moksha also, desire for moksha also can be a hindrance in path of bhakti, because moksha is also a selfish desire. I want to get liberated from this suffering cycles of birth and death. I do not want to get entangled in the sufferings of cycles of birth, old, disease and death. So bhakti is much beyond this char purusharth. Bhakti is pancham purusharth, that is love. And such love, that is not that love that when I love you, my Lord, I must get love from you, I must get the reciprocation from you. Well, when you go in the at the bank of Jamuna, you don't separately apply for cool breezes, right? When you sit at the bank of Ganga, Jamuna, Ganga, automatically cool breeze comes. It's like a package. So when we love, we don't have to ask the Lord that, my Lord, please reciprocate to my love, huh? Please, because I need your love. I am hungry for your love. But the highest stage of surrender is that there is no iota of any selfish desire in bhakti. When we say pure devotional service, it only means one thing, that there is nothing for the self. That's why many a times we are told our sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a revolutionary sampradaya. There is nothing in for ourselves here at the ultimate stage. You want to understand, and you should be prepared for that. Even the Lord may be happy with your endeavor and you may be unhappy with some sufferings, and that is very happily accepted in Mahaprabhu Chaitanya's movement. What does that 8th shloka say in Shiksha Ashtakam? Ashlishava Padaratam Pinastumam. Pinastumam means I am ready to get crushed, my Lord. But I will never give up activities that are intended to please you. Nothing will discourage me from serving you because I am getting some pain. I am getting some suffering. I am getting some distress, unwanted experiences. You can, like, you embrace me, you kick me away, you crush me, make me miserable. It's all right, my Lord. I want to simply please you. If my suffering or my going through these experiences is what you want and is what going to please you, I'm okay, my Lord. And that is called bhakti. You see the gopis, when, how much, and today also we think Vrindavan, Mathura, Nandagaon, how far is from Mathura? Very close. Within 2 hours we can go today. Or even if you walk, it may be 1 or 2 days. But the gopis never went there. No, no, we want to be with you. How can you leave us? They expressed their love. But the Lord went. And it could have been always possible to just go across and meet Krishna. But they never went because they knew that he didn't want us to go there. It won't be pleasing if we go there. He wants us to stay here back. There's some purpose behind it. And till the end they didn't go. When he called, they went. Because then that would please him. So he went, they went. That is why the Brijavasis, you know, they are the emblem of the highest degree of devotional service. Because in all their activities, there was never a trace of selfish desire. There's something I will gain in my relationship with Krishna when I do something for him. And obviously, Mahaprabhu Chaitanya also explains that they were doing highest of all devotional service. Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is such a kathor sannyasi, won't even look at the shoe of a woman, would take the names of these gopis, chant the names of the ladies, gopis, glorify them, at the cost of ridicule of people in Navadvip. He would chant the name. That means he would adoring them as the highest devotees of the Lord. Highest devotees of the Lord. And what was the state of consciousness? That they never expected anything from the Lord. Even when they would dress up beautifully, generally it looks like, no, I am dressing up so that I can be beautiful and people can look at me. But the only purpose of dressing was that Krishna would be pleased. If my looking beautiful would be pleasing Krishna, so I will dress up. Otherwise, I will not dress up only. Who cares for my beauty? Only if Krishna is happy looking at my beautiful face and beautiful existence, then I am happy. Nanda Maharaj came back from Mathura. Krishna told Nanda Vasudeva and Devaki that I will stay back here as per your desire to please you. And there was like a shocking thunderbolt on the heart of Nanda Maharaj. He understood, he's not going to come back with me. Both of them are not going to come back. And if that is going to please Krishna and Balaram, so be it. But it was like a too much painful situation for him, and he couldn't leave from there. His legs were so heavy. He was leaving so slowly. He stopped on the way to Gaurav village. You know, he couldn't just move. And finally he went. And then after going, Yashoda Devi was just blasting at him like anything. It was too painful. And finally she said, so long a story, but I'll tell you short. Finally she said that you don't know how to love. You are nothing better than Dasharatha Maharaj. Dasharatha Maharaj is a personality who knew how to love his sons. Look at him. He died. He left his body in remembrance of Lord Ram. And finally she came up to saying, how you survived? Why didn't you die there only instead of coming here to tell me that they didn't come with you? It's like ultimate, you know. But Nanda Maharaj has such a magnanimous personality. He was understanding fully, empathically, like, you know, we have in our language empathy, full empathy. He had full understanding of Yashoda's heart, what she was going through. So he was going on listening and everything, each after sentence after sentence she was shooting arrows with fire. So much painful statements she was making, and finally said, you should have died there only. And she fell unconscious, and then still he helped her to be conscious again, keep her composed. He was fully composed. And he said, finally, when she was like in a state of listening, he said, Yashoda, it was very easy to die. What is there to die? I could have died there. But he told me that I am going to come back, my dear father, after fulfilling my duties to Nanda and to Vasudeva and Devaki. Now if I die there due to my emotions, to express my emotions, my sorrow and my inability to bear the situation, so it's easy to die, to end the situation of pain there. After some years, when he would come back to Nandagaon and would look for me, won't he be very unhappy? So that is why, Yashoda, you and me have to live. We have no choice but to live, because when we will be living and he'll come back, he will look at us, he'll be happy. Otherwise, today the way you are searching Krishna Balaram and unhappy, tomorrow he will keep searching you and me and he will be unhappy. This is his consciousness of being ready to go through all the pains of life till the time he comes back, to be, just be there, just exist, so that when he comes back, he will be happy to see us and he will not be unhappy by not seeing us. That is the mood of Nanda Maharaj. And similarly, you look at the mood of gopis. When Narad Muni came asking for dust of the lotus feet of devotees, for relieving the headache of Krishna, the queens had already gone behind. They were so much eager to come to do whatever I can do, whatever we can do. Please tell us, Narad Muni, Raj Vaidya, please tell us. But when they were told this solution, everybody just went behind. All Dwarkavasis, so-called, all rasas, all devotees just went behind. Wow, how can we do this? And then Krishna told Narad Muni, go to Vrindavan. And then we went to Vrindavan and then he announced. And he saw amazingly, every gopi was running to bank of Jamuna, dipping their feet in water, then on the sand, and then removing the sand, again going in the water, again in the sand, and removing the water. Arjuna said, I need a little bit dust. I don't want so much dust. He said, you take as much as possible. In future also it will be useful. Whenever there will be headache. So instead of taking little dust from people who claim to be devotees of the Lord, there was a big bundle on his head, big, what do you call, boja, luggage. And with that he came to, and then Narad Muni asked the gopis, do you know what is the meaning of this? You will have to suffer like anything if your dust from your feet touches the head of Lord Krishna. It's too much suffering. And what did the gopis answer? Such a beautiful answer they gave. It was not a dialogue written by some writer in a movie and they had to just read that with a lot of emotion, effortfully. Such a natural statement for them. They said, forget about curing the headache. The aim is to cure his headache. But even if the dust of our feet can relieve him for a moment of the headache, not curing, just relieve, little bit decrease in the intensity of the headache for a only moment, then we are ready to undergo sufferings in hell for eternity. That means, this kind of surrender, what does it tell? Ki even our beloved, if he is going to get pleased, even that going to cause me eternal suffering in hellish situations, I am okay. To that extent, there is desire to please the beloved. That is, here the beloved is the Lord. And that is the only reason Sri Krishna sells himself to such devotees. Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar of Devotion, in the first chapter itself, that one of the qualities of Shuddha Bhakti is Sri Krishna Akarshini. After Kleshagni, Shubhadha, Sudurlabaha, Moksha Laguta Kritaha, Sandarananda Visheshatma, the last one is Sri Krishna Akarshini. It is said Sri Krishna is attractive to everybody in the world. Even millions of cupids are mad after him. All devotees are after him. All sages are after him. All demigods are after him. Everybody in the material world is after him, enamored by his beauty, by his personality, by his kindness, by his magnanimity. Millions of cupids faint in front of the beauty of Krishna, in front of personality of Krishna. But Sri Krishna is also being attractive to everybody, is also attracted to something, and that is called as Shuddha Bhakti. Sri Krishna is supreme controller, but he is also controlled by something that is called pure devotional service. That is why it is said pure devotional service is superior to Krishna also, because when done, Shuddha Bhakti conquers and controls Krishna. And who does that? His pure devotees. Rupa Goswami says, symbol of devotional service is in highest degree, is Srimati Radharani. To perform devotional service means to follow the lotus footsteps of Radharani. Brajvasis put themselves under Radharani to attain perfection in their devotional service. Devotional service is not an activity on the material world. It is directly under the control of Radharani. Bhagavad Gita says all the Mahatmas who are surrendered to the Lord are always under the protection of Radharani. Sri Krishna tells Uddhav in 11th canto, 4th chapter, 20th sloka, which will come in the future. Sri Krishna says, Uddhav, my dear Uddhava, any amount of yoga, mystic yoga, any amount of karmakand, fruitive activities, any amount of acquiring knowledge, any amount of study of Vedanta, any intense tapasya, any amount of donations and charity given in the holy places, any amount of visits to holy places cannot attract me as much as Shuddha Bhakti by my devotee. This is Shuddha Bhakti is the only thing which attracts me and pleases me. And when somebody does that, I sell myself to him. Like he told, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told so many devotees that he can sell me in the market. I am his puppet. Sri Krishna himself becomes puppet in the hands of a person who performs Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service. What is the proof? He told the gopis that you have done so much for me. I may be whoever I am, but I cannot repay you. Just be happy in whatever you are doing as the reward of your activity. Amazing. This is very amazing. The person who is a giver of everything, person who is controller of everything, possessor of everything, owner of everything, he is saying, I am helpless. Such is the power of Shuddha Bhakti that makes the supreme owner of everything a helpless personality. And then there are so many proofs. He told gopis, na parayaham. Then he became the charioteer of Arjun. Narad Muni went to meet Pandavas. And Yudhishthir Maharaj was glorifying Prahlad. So Narad Muni said, you are trying to glorify Prahlad as superior to him. But do you know Supreme Personality of God is so much merciful to you? He became an ordinary human being. He became your cousin. He became your friend. He stayed with you. He became your messenger. He shared happiness and sorrows with you as a family member. He took a role of a nephew to your mother. Brother, as cousin brothers to all of you. You are so fortunate. I understand your heart that you are still considering yourself lowly toward in front of Prahlad Maharaj. So being attracted by Shuddha Bhakti done by Pandavas, Krishna stayed there as an ordinary human being. He became Sarathi of Arjun. He became messenger for Pandavas in front of Kauravas. He took an insult from Duryodhan. Isn't that true? He put himself in an insulting situation in front of Duryodhan for the sake of his devotees Pandavas. He ran to forest to save them from Durvasa Muni's wrath. What he did not do? He ran when Draupadi was being disrobed. He had no business to go. He is Supreme Personality of God. But because he is subservient and controlled by the love and surrender of his devotee, he does something which is unusual, which is amazing actually. So, Prabhupada mentions again, God is great, but pure devotional service is greater than God as it conquers and controls the Lord. So, this purport where we read, it ended at the level, I'll read again those lines, very beautiful lines Prabhupada explains. Although the Supreme Lord is eternally a predominator and the living entity is eternally the predominated, when the living entity surrenders unto the Lord with a sincere loving attitude, desiring to serve the Lord eternally without the slightest expectation of personal reward for such service, the Lord is immediately pleased. As expressed here by the word prasannaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is so unlimitedly merciful and magnanimous that in his gratitude to such a devotee, he immediately is inclined to offer everything, even himself. So this Shuddha Bhakti makes the Lord grateful. We have to be grateful for him. But Shuddha Bhakti is such a powerful activity. It makes him grateful. Only one thing is required, is to be selfless in this. Because when we offer our love and heart and we surrender to the Lord, we don't have to separately ask him, will I get food if I do this? Or will I be looked after? Or will my family be looked after? We have so many stories in even Maharashtra also. Lord has gone and, you know, did chakki for Janabai. Lord had gone and cleaned the cows for his devotees. Lord had done so many menial services. What he has not done to save his devotees? So the devotee who is performing Shuddha Bhakti does not have to separately apply for kshem and kushal. Yoga and kshem. It is automatic. When we offer our love to the Lord selflessly, for which He is hungry, everything that we are offering Him is belonging to Him only. The love only is ours, the feelings are only ours, the Chetana is only ours. And that Chetana is hungry for that He is coming all the way. He said, I left all the opulence of Vaikuntha just to come and taste the chhas of the gopis of Vrindavan, that too by stealing. Because all the chhas belongs to him. All the butter belongs to him. What he is hankering for is the love, the selfless love the gopis have, the brajvasis have, the cowherd boys have, and the cows have, and the servants of Vrindavan have, and the blades of grass of Vrindavan have, and the birds of Vrindavan they have. So when that love is offered to him, everything that is his becomes that person's. As it is said in Bible also, that the kingdom of God is inherited by the meek and the humble. That means whatever the Lord thinks he owns or belongs to him, everything becomes the property of the devotee who is in love, in surrender to the Lord. So Shuddha Bhakti is so powerful, and even Lochan Das Thakur always says that who has taught us all these things, who has taught us the devotion of Brajara Yuvati, is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If he was not there, yadi gaurna hoito tabe ki hoito, if he was not there, then who would have taught us the sentiment of love that the Braja Yuvatis expressed for Krishna? Who would have taught us the glories of that love with Radharani and Gopis expressed for Krishna? The Mahaprabhu Chaitanya came to express and to explain and to give us the gift of understanding of the depth and intensity of the love of the Gopis. Brajara Yuvati, the service that they performed. The word Aradhana is defined as the activity that Radha performs. That activity which is totally selfless, only centered on Krishna, not centered on herself, and just to please him. So let us all actually strive for this, because all of us are aspiring sadhakas. No doubt we have material desires, we have some aspirations, spiritual aspirations, and it's very good, instead of having desire and aspirations for sense gratification in the material world, it's better to have an aspiration to get liberated, to be in Golok Vrindavan, to be next to Krishna in Golok Vrindavan. It's all right. But still in the highest stage, we have to at least theoretically understand and keep that on that pedestal, that my goal is to ultimately become completely selfless. That means, mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavatat bhaktir ahaitukitoi. That means, no liberation also. I'll come back again and again if you want. And that too, I'll come back in hell, I'll come back in heaven, come back in a dog's body or cat's body or a human body in the earthly planet, wherever you want me, my Lord. But I will keep doing, I will keep desiring and keep doing Shuddha Bhakti to you. That's my desire. This is what we have to keep praying constantly. When we chant Shikshashtakam in the morning, we have to sincerely pray that, my Lord, one day I want to become selfless. I do not want to desire anything one day. Today may not be the situation for me, but I want to pray to you to give me that day where I can be totally selfless. And your happiness will be only goal of me. Tava ichha mata karohe jatana. Thakur Bhaktivinoda is expressing in his bhajan that I want to work only to please you. And that effort of pleasing you can give me sorrow. It's okay, my Lord. In fact, when pains come to me in the process of trying to please you, oh my Lord, I will accept them gratefully, because they will destroy my avidya, all my attachments and negativities in life which are not very expected in my life will be destroyed. I know, my Lord, so let the pain come, my Lord, I don't mind, but let you be pleased, my Lord. And even if I don't understand how in this painful situation of mine you are going to be pleased, doesn't matter. Even if I don't understand, if you are going to get pleased, I'm okay, my Lord, just give me strength to accept that, and accept that in a grateful heart. Such a grateful heart actually buys the Lord. Lord is selling himself to such a feeling. This is the price to get Krishna as yours. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering us that opportunity to be grateful and to accept everything as the mercy of the Lord, and still keep attempting and keep trying and keep doing services just to please him. That is the ultimate goal of all our bhakti. All our chanting, all our seva, all our sadhana, all our so-called devotional services that we are doing under the guidance of our Gurudev and devotees is simply to please Krishna. And today, if we do not know whether Krishna is pleased or not, we have our Gurudev. If he is pleased, we know Krishna is pleased. Yasya bhaga prasadat bhagavat prasado. yasya prasadad na gati kutopi. It's a simplistic method. We do not know Krishna today, whether he is happy or not happy. But devotees will tell you whether they are happy or not. They will tell you openly. They are Krishna's greatest mercy upon us to be around us, to let us know whether Krishna is happy or not. They will express to you. So we should be humble to accept their feelings of unhappiness if they are unhappy and try to work on that to make them happy. Because the first attempt to please Krishna is to please devotees around us, at least our authorities, devotees. Next attempt is to please the authorities, supreme authority, that is Gurudev. And when Gurudev is pleased, Krishna is pleased. Hare Krishna. We have a few minutes more. Today is disappearance day of a very great, even the thought of that personality is so enlivening, you know, so energy giving. Abhiram Gopal Thakur Ki Jai. Such a great personality. I think such people are only possible in Gaur Leela. Such magnanimous personalities are only possible in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Anyway, so one of the unique things I learned that Abhiram Gopal Thakur did not take birth the way people take birth. He just appeared in the material world, in Kali Yuga. Not like anybody else. He appeared in Kanakula Krishnanagar. And Kana is the name of the river. Kula means the bank of the river. And Krishnanagar means where the Krishna temple was there, which was at the bank of the river Kana. Today it is near Amta, when you go from Calcutta by train. Abhiram Gopal Thakur was Sridhama in Krishna Leela. Very, very dear associate of Lord Nityananda in Kali Yuga. And also he was known as Sri Ramdas. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Lord Nityananda to preach, he had these two amazingly, transcendently crazy people with him. One was Abhiram Gopal Thakur, and second was Gadadhar Das, that Kazi Gadadhar Das, you know, chant now. That Gadadhar Das was also the accompaniment of Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda also shared that same transcendental craziness with him. So these two were fit candidates to join him. In order to please Lord Nityananda, Abhiram Gopal Thakur got married actually to Malini Devi. He was always filled with ecstasy due to the mercy of Lord Nityananda and due to Lord Nityananda's empowerment. He was a fearless preacher. When he started preaching in the order of Nityananda Prabhu, everybody would just flee away, whoever were atheistic and antagonistic people. They would just run away out of his fear. So he lived in Kanakula Krishnanagar. And there is a river, and at the bank of the river, the temple of Gopinath is there. And there is also a tree called Siddha Bakula, that under which Abhiram Gopal Thakur would sit and do bhajan. And one day he got a dream that Gopinath Didi came to him and told him that I am underground, please remove me from here, and showed him the place also where he was. So next day Abhiram Gopal Thakur excavated and revealed a beautiful deity of Gopinath and installed that in temple. Lord showed that I want to appear in this village of Kanakula Krishnanagar. I am buried under earth, and also he showed him the place. And the devotees then took bath, because where he dug, there a big pond appeared automatically and naturally. And that is called Ramakunda, where all the devotees took bath after they received Gopinath deity from that. Bhakti Ratnakar says that anyone takes bath in this Ramakunda will become free from cycles of birth and death. One day, Abhiram Gopal Thakur, in ecstasy of Sakyaras, wanted to play flute and started searching everywhere in all four directions, and he couldn't find a suitable flute. Then he came across a log which was so big, wooden log, which was not able to be lifted by 16 people. 16 people could not lift that log. He just turned that big log into a flute and started playing. Bhakti Ratnakar explains that Chaitanya Charitamrita also explains that flute playing was so transcendental and so happiness giving, you know. Such a huge wooden log, he turned into flute and played it. That was his ecstasy of Sakya. And he is famous for his whip, bull whip called Jay Mangala. And the Jay Mangala whip was so powerful that anybody, he would touch that Jay Mangala whip, that person will go into ecstasy. He will receive Krishna Prema. So, one time he, Srinivas Acharya, went to take darshan of Abhiram Gopal Thakur. So, he whipped him once. And Srinivas Acharya, in ecstasy, started dancing and jumping, shedding tears. Then he whipped him second time. Ecstasy increased hundredfold. And he third time whipped him. Again hundredfold ecstasy. And his wife came and stopped him. Prabhu, Maharaj, Swami, please stop. Such a small boy he is. He will fall unconscious if you hit him more with the love of Godhead. So he stopped. His wife's name was Malini. And she was a kind of very merciful to Acharya Srinivas. Because sometimes ecstasy also is not so easy to bear, you know. It is difficult to bear sorrows, but also ecstasy, to really take ecstasy also one should be qualified. And the qualification was given by Abhiram Gopal Thakur. Now, Lord Nityananda was staying in Kardaha, all of you know, will be going on Yatra this time there. He married Janava Devi and Vasudha Devi. Janava Devi didn't give any children, but Vasudha Devi did give children. And she gave birth to the first girl child. And Abhiram Gopal Thakur went and offered pranams to that girl, and that girl died. You know, his pranams were so powerful. If you would offer pranam to a stone which was not shaligram, the stone would crack. If you would offer pranam to any devotee, if he was not a pure devotee, that person will die. That was the kind of amazing thing he had within him. So he went and offered pranam to first girl of Nityananda, she died. Then second girl was born, he offered pranam to her, she also died. Such six girls were born to Lord Nityananda, all of them he offered dandavat and all of them died. And the seventh girl was born, was the incarnation of Ganga Devi, and he offered dandavat to her also. And that time Ganga Devi did not die. And that time Abhiram Gopal Thakur said, this time we are not cheated. All the other times we were cheated. And immediately he composed 100 verses in the glorification of Ganga Devi. And after that, Virbhadra was born. And as soon as Virbhadra was born, he again offered dandavat. And nothing happened to Virbhadra. Because Virbhadra was the incarnation of Shirodakshayi Vishnu. And he immediately composed Virbhadrashtakam. Abhiram Gopal Thakur. And then, one day he heard the transcendental pastime of Raghunandan Thakur. All of you know that Raghunandan Thakur was told by his father Mukunda to offer one day, and then he cried and cried and cried. Krishna was not eating. And he cried so much that, if you don't eat, my father will beat me. So Krishna had to eat that, what was offered by Raghunandan. He had to eat the plate completely. I had to come down from the deity form. And then Mukunda was quite puzzled. And then Mukunda came to know by the Lord's mercy that actually he ate everything. Nothing to feel bad about the son. His son is cheating and eating the bhoga of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya asked, Mukunda, who is the father? You are the father or Raghunandan is father? The father of Raghunandan, Mukunda, said, yes, my Lord, Raghunandan is my father. Because who is the father? Who teaches you the science of Siddha Bhakti is the father. So this whole leela Abhiram Gopal Thakur had come to know. So he decided, I want to go and offer the dandavat to that boy. So he started to Srikhanda. The news spread to Srikhanda that Abhiram Gopal Thakur is coming to offer pranams to Raghunandan. And the news came to the house of Raghunandan. It came to Mukunda and his wife also, the mother and father of Raghunandan. And they were so scared, because they were not... See, ultimately, like Yashoda also, would get scared. If Krishna would eat dirt, he will die. He will get disease and die. Out of the power of Vatsalya, sometimes the reality also is not understood by the person who has that power of pure Vatsalya. So out of pure Vatsalya, she felt, maybe if my son is not a pure devotee, yes, Lord has come out of deity and eaten his food. I agree. But what if he is not 100% pure devotee? And what if Abhiram Gopal Thakur comes and offers dandavat? And what if he dies? So they hid him somewhere. And when Abhiram Gopal Thakur came announcing, where is Raghunandan? Where is Raghunandan? They said, Raghunandan is not there. So he was like disappointed. He said, oh, I came all the way and I could not get the darshan of a pure devotee. So he was going away. And soon enough, Raghunandan himself, where he was hidden, he came to know that Abhiram Gopal Thakur has come. So he broke the doors open and he ran behind him and he embraced him, offered dandavat to him. He offered dandavat to him. He offered dandavat to him. And nothing happened. And they both started dancing. dancing and dancing in ecstasy. And then when they were dancing, mother and father came out because they were wondering what will happen. He will die, or maybe he will die after dancing. But he didn't die. And in the process of dancing, the Nupur of Raghunandan flew 2 miles in some other village. In that village, Kaliya Krishnadas used to worship Krishna. And in that village, this Nupur fell. And it fell in the pond. That pond is called Nupur Kund. And then that Nupur was worshipped by Kaliya Krishnadas. And today, that Nupur and Kaliya Krishnadas both are worshipped at that village. What is that village name? Karul, near Katwa. So this is Abhiram Gopal Thakur. I remember, one more thing I'll tell you. Gopal Guru Goswami, whose temple is there in Vrindavan near Dhir Samir also, he also was one time whipped by Abhiram Gopal Thakur. But nothing happened to him. Why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had put his lotus foot on the forehead of Gopal Guru when he was a small baby. With that blessing of empowerment of Lord Chaitanya, the test of the Tej, Ojas of Abhiram Thakur was not affecting Gopal Guru Goswami. And how can we not remember our Abhiram Gopal Thakur Prabhu on the day of Abhiram Gopal Thakur disappearance? I remember he was in Pakistan. Many of you may not know, many years back he was staying here, just in the room here where I stayed before he stayed. And before that, he was in Pakistan. And in Pakistan at that time, when we had just become devotees, 6 temples were burnt by Pakistanis, Hare Krishna temples. And that time, they were also hunting the devotees who were there in the temple. So they all just fled away. So in that process, his wife stayed behind, he came back, and he came to India. And I was that time full-time in Vrindavan temple, looking after that Ram Jivai Satsang Bhavan. So I was told he is coming, you have to please give shelter to him, and like, we will stay here incognito. Of course, Pakistani police cannot come and arrest somebody in India, but he is coming from Pakistan, running away from Pakistan. So he stayed with me in Ram Jivai Satsang Bhavan for many months. Things were settled. In the process, news came that his wife died in a storm. In the storm, tulsi plants fell down from the katta or platform, and she was so much a devoted lady to Tulsi Devi that she just went and ran and embraced that pot of Tulsi which fell down, and there only she left her body. So then he took Vanaprastha and he left Vrindavan temple and he came here in Radha Gopinath temple, and he stayed the room next to Radhana Swami Maharaj. And the greatest memory that everybody has is always shoutingly call, Gopal, Krishna, Krishna, Gopal. And some devotees were like sons to him that time. They would say, what Prabhuji, you are shouting? We are getting disturbed. So that time, Radhanath Maharaj told him, he is not shouting, he is calling them. He is calling Krishna and Gopal. Every single moment, even in the middle of the night also, he would call constantly. Such a devotee he was, fantastic devotee. He would be so loving to some of the brahmacharis who may be remembering, how much care he would take when they were sick and how much love he would give them, and instructions would give them in deity worship. And he would cook for His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And his pieces of potato or suran or maybe dudhi or whatever he would, kasifal, he would take only equal looking cubicles for making sabji. All the other shapes and sizes he would discard. That was his standard. And then when he would cook and he would offer to Krishna and he would serve Radhanath Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj said that his preparations would shine effulgently in the plate, and I could make out which preparations were made by Abhiram Gopal Thakur Prabhu. Such a devotee he was. Especially to me, while I stayed within Vrindavan, was so loving. And I remember him, he was in Bhatia Hospital in the last days. We went to see him there. He also came to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. He was admitted there for some time, but last days he was here, so we went to Bhatia Hospital. We went to see him. He was kind of unconscious, but I remember his most important thing which Radhanath Maharaj revealed to us after he left. That one time Abhiram Gopal Thakur had gone to Kanakula Nagar, Kanakula Krishna Nagar. Just like, we all go to yatras. But when he went there, he got some completely out of the world, transcendental, ecstatic experiences. He was trembling and he's shedding tears like rivers there. And a great transformation took place in his life when he went to Kanakula Krishna Nagar. And he came back from there here. And after that, his calling Krishna and being in ecstasy increased 100-folds. And then he would go to Radhana Swami Maharaja's room many times in the daytime and cry and cry and cry and couldn't speak only. He has gone to speak something, but he's like unable to speak only, crying and crying and crying and crying. After some time he would speak that Krishna's dearmost Sakha, Sridhama, is coming to me in my dream and telling me, please come, let us go and herd the cows. Many, many times he met Radhanath Maharaj, telling this that Sridhama is coming and calling me. Now Abhiram Gopal Thakur was Sridhama himself. Sridhama incarnated as Abhiram Gopal, and he was Abhiram Gopal Thakur Das. He was named as Abhiram Das, but when he went to Krishna Nagar, Kanakula Krishna Nagar, he himself added Gopal in between. And he started calling him Abhiram Gopal Das. So he asked Maharaj, what I should do? He's calling me to come and herd the cows. He said, just keep it to yourself. Right time will come and he will take you to herd the cows with him. So that time we all came to know, when spiritual master gives a particular name to somebody, it has a divine connection. It is not just by the way, your name is S, so your name is Shadbhuj Das. My name is V, so my name comes to Vishwarup Das. Whatever V, so many names are there after V. No, there is a meditation before giving name. And all of us will come to know sometime in our devotional life, somewhere, sometime, at least at the end of our life, that there is a connection of our name with Krishna in some leela and some pastime. And all this was shared by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj after he disappeared in his memorial service. So such great devotees lived amongst us. At times we don't know who is who. At times we may have fight with you. And we may not like you. We may not like seeing you also. But we don't know who is who. Time will reveal. Because we all are under the powerful energy zone of a pure devotee, that is Srila Prabhupada. And in that powerful, empowered, transcendental zone of energy of Srila Prabhupada, who is transformed into what? Nobody knows. That is why it is safer not to commit Vaishnavaprad. It's safer from that point of view. Because today somebody may be naive and neophyte and appear to be a fool. But tomorrow, by the power of empowerment and mercy of Srila Prabhupada, what will become of him? He's constitutionally, transcendentally situated, one day he will become. Then we'll repent, oh, for this devotee I fought with him one day. And he turned out to be XYZ. So, company of devotees is always transcendental. If our mood is transcendental, I mean not materially motivated, to be on the local language properly, if we're not motivated for ourselves selfishly, and we are pretty predisposed towards pleasing the devotees around us, then the association becomes very transcendental. And all the transcendental things will be revealed to you. And when we are motivated, have some personal selfish gains to think about, then that association becomes ordinary association. Where we look good and bad in them as per our personal selfish desires that we have. So let us remember Abhiram Gopal Das Prabhu and Abhiram Gopal Thakur, the incarnation of Sridhama, to bless us with that selfless devotion to the Lord and with the desire that we want to please Him selflessly, even at the cost of suffering in our life. And that is the greatest gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that gift is coming down through Srila Prabhupada to all of us. So that it's not impossible, it's a question of molding our consciousness. Because Brahmaji also has said that if somebody can thank the Lord and keep serving the Lord to please Him, then the Lord becomes obliged and subservient to that devotee. And by the way, attaining Golok Vrindavan becomes his right. by default. We don't have to separately work for that. So let us all try to take out this dharma, artha, kama, moksha type of selfishly imbued activities, and let us free our consciousness with ourself and keep Krishna over there and simply work to please Krishna. And Krishna will never leave us. He will always accompany you, always be with you in all the endeavors of life. He will protect you, will take care of you, will look after your yoga and kshema. He will give you love and satisfy you also. That's a byproduct of trying to please Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Is there any question anybody has? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.